Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Of God to this podium tonight, Brother Craig Ashcraft, he and his sweet wife, Sister Wiki, we love and appreciate them. Would you welcome them? Give them a good old Southwest Louisiana welcome. Thank you.
Praise God, praise God, praise the Lord. Well, it is truly a high point of our year to get to be here with you, and we're not mutually scratching each other's backs, but we are so indebted to Brother and Sister Nealon for their service here, for their friendship to us, and we enjoy the fellowship of you as well as them. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Thank you. Musicians, I do appreciate your assistance there. He asked me, do you ever play anymore? And I said, no. I never know from one church to the next if there's going to be a mic at the keyboard or a monitor to hear yourself or if it's going to be in tune or if it's going to be looking at the congregation or looking at the back wall or so it's easy to just say, I don't think so. Amen. I have such a feeling for the body of Christ and in particular the apostolic Christian faith. And I would like tonight, if possible, to weave together two or three trains of thought that perhaps tonight you may leave with something, a tool that you can use that will increase your percentage of victories. How many of you believe that the Lord wants us to be victorious? I don't think that he would have paid the price that he did and given us the infusion of such a powerful agency as his spirit and then leave us to flounder and try to pick up a victory once or twice in our life that is credible and sustainable. In every area of our life, he's interested in our success. He is interested in your financial blessing. He is interested in your health. He is interested in your peace and sanity. He is interested in harmony in your relationships. And the Pentecost that I was raised in was very powerful. There were many occasions of the noticeable works of the Spirit. We saw the dead raised. We saw diseases of every kind stopped in their tracks. We saw deaf ears opened, blind eyes opened. We saw those things. The thing that troubled me, though, was the level of percentages that were in that time. 10 would come, 2 would be healed, 8 return to their seat, wondering. After all the preacher said, James 5:14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, anoint him with oil, prayer of faith shall save the sick. We saw that. And so we were confused by that. And a lot of times, you've seen it in your experience in the church, you have seen that very thing. Maybe you've experienced it yourself. And so I can tell by the countenance of people when they have adjusted to a place where I'm really not expecting any victories, but I love my pastor, I love my church, I love the Lord, I read his word, I pay my tithe, and I'm just going to take what I can get. That's, but I, I was not satisfied with that because somewhere the theme in God's word was, you know, there was Moses and many victories, and there was David and many victories, and Joshua with many victories, all through the Old Testament. Then the apostles came through, and there were victories and victories. And you say, yeah, but I'm not a Moses and I'm not a David. But yes, they were first of all children of God first. And so he didn't just bless them because they were leaders or apostles or something. He blessed them because he loved them. And because they were his children first. And tonight, before you are a Sunday school teacher or an usher or a sound tech or any kind of a minister in this church, you're first of all his child. And he loves you. Wow. Now, I served the Lord for a long time because it seemed that it was the way to do it. I served the Lord not because of so much my love for him and my appreciation for what he had done for me, but I served him because there was a condemnation continually cracking the whip at my ankles and biting me and moving me forward. I was condemned because I didn't pray enough. I was condemned because I didn't fast enough. I was condemned because I didn't read the word enough. And one day I was able to label that. There's a difference in condemnation and conviction. Conviction leads you forward. Condemnation takes you back. You just get tired of it. You just get weary of it. And pretty soon you give in and do some level of backsliding. May not ever stop coming to church, but you ease back into a place. So tonight, Jesus is here to help us, to lift us into a place of understanding, into a place of victory, into a place of dominion. Actually, we already have it. Princess Meghan, I actually think she's going to be teaching Prince Harry a few things. But I think that she is learning the protocols of the palace. Come on, she is married into the family, but now she has to learn the protocols of the palace. She has to be enlarged to understand all of the vast wealth that is at her disposal. And so you and I, when we come to the Lord and are filled with His Spirit and baptized in His name, that we have become a child of His. We have become His bride. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the gold and silver and all this stuff. He is everything. And so we have just been introduced into the palace. We are prince and princes. In fact, the Bible calls us kings and priests. Okay? And so then it is up to us to begin to study principally the epistles to discover the vast wealth that is at our disposal, that is already assigned to us, that is readily available, but we have not understood that. And then secondly, we have not understood how to extract that. What is the process of extracting that? And the process is a five-letter word called faith. Faith is nothing more or less than a unerring, not backing down confidence in what God said unto the manifestation of that I am attempting to extract. My dad spent nearly 50 years in banking, and we had a humorous story told to us that there was this man who had opened an account in the bank and put some grand sum of money in the bank, but he was a little bit on the ignorant side. And so he came in one day and up to the teller and he said, in fact, he'd opened it in a couple of banks, and he came to the teller and said, I need $100 out of my account. And she said, well, here, that's fine. Said, sign this, what we call then a counter check. And he said, I'm not going to sign any check. Just give me my $100. I have the money in the bank. She said, yes, sir, you may have the money in the bank, but you have to fill out this counter check and sign it. He said, I'm not about to do that. And she said, well, I can't give you the money. He left with a huff, went to the other bank where he had made a deposit, and went in there and said the same thing. And that teller was on a short fuse that day and reached across the bars and zapped him in the eye and said, "Sign this check right here." And he signed the check, and she gave him his $100. He came back over to the first bank, and they said, "Wow, what in the world?" And he said, "Well, she explained it to me different." And what I grieve about is that I haven't found them, but it seemed like there's not a great group that is explaining to the church, the body of Christ, the children of the King of Kings, what they have, where they are spiritually now. I don't care if you're baptized with His Spirit tonight and baptized in His name. Tonight, no matter how you feel in your physical frame, you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. No matter how close you feel that Satan is to you tonight, you are seated with him far above all principalities and powers. Now, you say, now, because we have used the wrong barometer for our spiritual victories and success, we have used the barometer of my feelings. Therefore, our preachers have to holler, scream, run, spit, jump, and all like that, or we have not felt the presence of the Lord. Listen, where two or three are gathered in His name, He is there in the midst of them. There are too many recorded cases of people receiving their miracles and never, in fact, if you study the Gospels, you'll find there's only one miracle in the Gospels that said anything about feeling. And that was the lady with the issue of blood. She turned and felt within her body that she was whole of the plague that had been against her. So what I do, I have to turn loose of the feelings barometer. And what am I going to do? Because that's been basically what Pentecost in some ways has been built upon. Instead of this eternal, blessed, God-given word of God, that I transfer and say, I'm not going to live by my feelings anymore. If they sing a song and I don't feel anything, I'm still saved. I have said this so many times, Wiki, you have to close your ears, but there's most mornings that I wake up that I don't feel saved. I don't. I just wish the day could start about 1. I get up early, 4, 5, 6 o'clock. I get up, but I don't desire the day to begin till 1. But it's amazing to me how a little toothbrush, little mouthwash, I suddenly have a hope on salvation. And then when I turn my little Keurig coffee maker on and I pop in my Italian roast coffee and I sit down and wait for the moving of the Spirit, I'm telling you, and I quaff those first few swallows, I am a believer in salvation. Glory to God. Ready to take on anything. See? So by that you can see how fickle your feelings barometer is. Somebody doesn't look at you right. Well, no, that's not true. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood, word, and righteousness. And if what I need is in the book, it is in the bank. I said, if it's in the book, it is in the bank. Now, let's work on extracting that out of this word, out of the invisible. In fact, this Bible is your manual for unseen operation. This Bible teaches you what to do to reach into the unseen world and pull out of there what you need. I'm feeling good already. This Bible tells us about 9 gifts of the Spirit, but most of us have no idea. How does that happen? What do you feel? Do your ears wiggle? Does your head jump back and forth? What happens with a gift? And so many of us just back off and leave that alone, and we just sit in utter admiration of somebody who comes around with, you know, just any kind of an example of a gift. But the Word of God will teach us. I said it will teach us. So I remember taking his word, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14, and I said, Lord, I don't know anything about these gifts. I mean, I hear my dad sing in other tongues. I hear my mother pray by the hour in the front room of the house. But I don't know anything. I hear our pastor, who was raised in this church, prophesy and all kind of miracles and things happen. But here I am. Has anybody here ever just felt left out? Come on, just be honest with me. I just felt left out. I received the Holy Ghost, but that's kind of it. It's kind of the end of the story right there. Yeah, I signed on with the church and I love the church and all that. But you feel left out. Well, you don't have to feel left out anymore because you're his child. I'm repeating that again, and he loves you very much. And James said this, if any of us lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Now, our problem is not in the asking. Our problem is in the waiting until we understand it. Let me say this to you. Every gift of the Holy Spirit, if you have the Holy Spirit, is inside. It's there. I signed on to this high-dollar Bible study program one time, and for, I don't know, $300 or $400, you could get the basic unit. But when they sent you the CDs to put it all on your hard drive, the whole thing was there, all of it, up to the $1,000, $1,500 level. But you couldn't access that until they sent you a key. You paid for the key. And then when you put the key in, then a download came and unlocked that was already on the CD. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, all of that is inside. And through faith and believing and waiting upon God, you ask for a gift. You ask for a provision. You ask for it, and you stay with that until it is downloaded. And I used to have a laptop, and that thing had a little blue line across there would let you know that the download is happening. And then when it got to the end, it'd go, whoop, download completed. And so I got before the Lord, and I said, Lord, I don't understand this stuff. I'm just illiterate about this. I've been surrounded by it. How many of you have been surrounded by miracles and wonderful people? I've had stupendous mentors in my life. I'm talking about men that if I call their names, you would know them, everyone. I have driven them. I have slept in their house. I've been fed. I've eaten with them. I've preached for them. But that does, how many of us know tonight that that doesn't mean that there's a transfer into me? And so some of them, I would ask them, how does this happen? And they, frankly, they couldn't tell me because they just fasted and prayed until one day they woke up and there it was. So I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I don't know. There's no angel that's ever appeared to me like brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, and told me what my gift is. And so you said, earnestly covet the best gifts. Your apostle said that. I read that in the Word of God. The Apostle Paul said, covet earnestly the best gifts. Didn't he? Did he say that? All right. So it's legal for me to covet the best gift. So what kind of gift am I going to covet? Well, I looked in there and he said, covet to prophesy. The prophetic utterance edifies the body. Probably the most noble of the gifts in edification of the body of Christ. Praise God. So I knelt down and I said, Lord, you know, I'm waiting on you for this gift. I'm asking you for it right now in Jesus' name. I don't know how it operates. I don't know what you feel. If you do have a feeling, I don't know where the words come. I don't know how they come. I don't know what to do. But I am here. I'm asking you for wisdom. I'm asking you for the download, the expansion, the extraction of this gift on the inside of me. And I wait for you until that understanding and that thing comes. And I knelt about 5 or 6 hours waiting. I did, silently. Maybe said hallelujah 3 or 4 times the whole afternoon, but I was waiting. He knew what was there. It's like the Syrophoenician lady that came to Jesus. She wouldn't take no for an answer. And what's amazing about her is she jumped a dispensational line with her faith and her persistence. Come on. Jesus said, it's not proper for me to give the children's bread to dogs. Well, she just whipped right around there and got back in front of him. Said, yeah, but the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And he whirled around. He said, I have not seen so great faith, no, not in Israel. This woman, go, and it'll be given to you as you have believed. Glory to God. Now, we have no dispensation. We are in that dispensation. We are now in this thing. It is right for Gentiles to enjoy these things. It is right for the children of God to enjoy those things. So we don't have to jump any hurdles. All we have to do is see it in the Word, ask for it, stay there until it expands and manifests inside of us. Glory to God. So in that, sir, I was in a revival service, Little Rock, Arkansas. And so I said, you know, I'm not going to say anything to anybody else, Lord, until you manifest through me in the gift of prophecy. That's a pretty tall thing, but I was serious about it. You know, do you ever just get sick of being without? Because there's a lot that comes from the Lord you're not going to get until you just get tired of being without. I see this in your word, and I am, in fact, it says in the book of John, when he said, ask and you shall receive, it means make a demand. I am not demanding it of God. I'm demanding it of the principalities that are standing between me and that manifestation. Come on. So I'm saying to you, get out of my way. I'm going to have this because it is my right. I'm an heir to it. It is on deposit. To me, for me. So I got into service that night, and the people started greeting me as I was coming in. I just, I wasn't going to say a word. And I don't know, about 10 minutes before it was my time in the service, all of a sudden I felt something building on the inside of me. I felt something expanding on the inside of me. I didn't know what this was. I had never done this before, and I wait. When he gave it to me, the first thing out of my mouth was a simple prophetic utterance to the church that I was speaking to. Glory to God. And since that time, every time I have drawn closer into the Lord, that thing pops up. Boom, here we go. Praise God. Now, here's the thing. I am no different than you are because I am ordained. United Pentecostal Church International Minister does not mean that I have something that you don't have. If you have the time and you have the determination, come on, you can step out of the poor living you've been in and step into something that will edify those sitting around you, those with whom you have to do, and they will say, my goodness, what is going on here? Is this okay tonight? So, I have to continue. I have to pursue. I have to persist. Any of the 9 gifts that you see that belong to you if you want it. Any of them. Now, there's always going to be a little error in the practicing. So start off in a Sunday school class, okay? Start off in a small group. Start off in the grocery store. I've had words of knowledge come to me about someone that I would see, and I respect the fact that I may miss something. So I go to them and I say, I'm not sure that this means anything to you, but I just seem to see that you are having difficulty with this, that, or the other. And they said, how did you know that? Well, I said, you know, Jesus loves you. And he just whispered a little bit to me, and I just thought I would stop and share that with you. And you'd be surprised how many barriers are broken down as a result, and people are made open to the gospel and to the message of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And this church ought to permeate this section of the state with a manifestation of the power and the presence of God. But if you're happy with where you have been, you will never get there. But if there can be an insatiable, energetic desire that says, I am going to have this in Jesus' name. Praise God. And I'm not going to let anybody or anything detract me. I'm going to ask my pastor to give me guidelines on this. Come on. But I'm going to pursue this, and I'm going to walk in this gift. Many of us are formed by the sufferings that we have gone through. There's two things. One, we're formed by that we love the most, and we're formed by that we hate the most. And there are some of us that have gone through exceeding trials of different kinds that motivates us and channels us into a place of seeking the Lord to help people not to live that kind of a way or not to have to go through what we have gone through. Praise God. So there is method in the madness. God didn't make that happen. Satan is the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus comes to give us life. And tonight he wants to release inside of you to give you the key to open the manifestation of the gifts and the wonders of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Now, back to this other little area here. Faith, confidence in God, seeing in his word. Let's talk about finances for just a moment, if you have another moment. I think I've about 30 minutes right now. Malachi, third chapter, tells us what happens with the tithe, doesn't it? Bring you all the tithe in the storehouse and prove me now with it, and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you'll not have room enough to receive it. Until we're at the place where we do not have room enough to receive it, we haven't received all of Malachi, the third chapter. Praise God. And if all you want is your pantry full, that's so full that you have to build a larger pantry, well, praise God. That, according to your faith, so be it unto you. If you want your Social Security check increased $100 to $200 a month, so be it unto you, if that's where you are. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good. Come on. But if you want a Shazam blessing that just blows your socks off. In fact, when it comes, you have to reach, grab your socks to keep them coming straight out of them. Because it blesses you. It amazes you. It thrills you. That's what God wants to do. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Come on. He wants to show his might. He wants to show his strength. And if you limit him to a trickle, there's nothing he can do. Oh, no, God does what he wants to do. No, he doesn't. In Nazareth, Jesus came with all that he was. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he healed a few sick folk with minor ailments. Praise God. Nazareth limited the power of God. God is looking for a church, for an individual. He is looking for somebody that says, I am going to take the wraps off of this. I am going to be full of the joy of the Lord. It is going to flow through me like a Niagara. I am going to be filled with such peace that nothing in the news can shake me, shatter me, or wilt me. I am going to have so much money that I can take on 10 or 20 missionaries myself. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And you don't have to necessarily be boisterous about it. You just have to be determined. You just have to have a gleam in your eye that the devil knows, don't go near them. Come on. Submit to God. Submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you are sick of having half-cocked health, you see, Satan will weigh you down with stuff where you're just about half speed all the time. And because I've been raised in the church, I can talk about it. Oh, Lord, praise the Lord. I tell you what, I'm just thanking him that I can just get to church, praise the Lord. I have been down in my back. I have had this high blood. I have had... Oh, Lord, have mercy. And I've had them in healing line. I said, well, pray for this, but I don't know about that. So well, let's just get this cleaned up. Okay, if that's all you want, then that's what we'll do. Come on. A blind lady came up to me in East Texas, and she had partial sight in one eye. She walked to church. She couldn't look at the photographs of her family, couldn't see things. I don't know how she made it to church. And she came up for prayer, and she said, I said, what can the Lord do for you tonight? And she said, well, I said, I'm blind and totally in one eye, and just let's just pray for this good eye. So I said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. We prayed for the good eye. The next night she was at church an hour early. And she said, oh my goodness. She said, I saw all the fence posts as I was coming along the road to church. She said, I looked at all of my family photographs today and I enjoyed seeing them. I looked at things that I hadn't seen in years. Come on, praise God. Now, don't you know the Lord that healed the partially blind eye was willing to fix the other one as well? Hallelujah. Man came to me one time and said, oh, Brother Askew, I'm in so much pain. I wish you'd just lay. Oh, but he said, I can't have my full healing because I'd lose my disability. I told him, I said, just go have a seat, okay? Come on. He'll meet you wherever you want to meet him. Because he loves you and he wants to build your faith. He wants you to come into the lion faith and the bear faith and then the Goliath faith and then come into a place of dominion. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Now, I know I probably haven't done what is typical here tonight, but I am so interested in the precious people of God to hear, to know, to understand, and to activate. Let me give you two things, and I'm closing. I'm done. You know, could you come back and do some more of that pretty music? I mean, that just helped me so much. I appreciate that. All of these singers and worshipers. Praise God. You want two things. You say, well, brother, I just can't believe for thus and so. Just can't get there. I just can't believe God for a superabundance. You want me to tell you how to get there? Nobody wants to hear. Pastor, come on and take this shirt. The first thing is just two simple things. The first thing is to saturate yourself with this right here. Saturate yourself, not the book of the Revelation. If you need healing, healing is not taught in the book of the Revelation except at the end of time when we all get there. The leaves of the tree for the healing of the nations. Healing is in Isaiah 53:5, 2 Peter 2:24. The willingness of Jesus is found in the Gospels to heal. He healed every kind of sickness. He healed all that came to him. We've got it in our mind, well, he must not want to heal me. No, if you saturate yourself in the Word of God that covers what you need. What I mean by saturation, I mean put a CD of healing scriptures by your bed. Go to sleep hearing it. Turn it on in the morning. Let it be the first thing that you hear. While you're bathing, getting ready for work, play the Word of God that covers your need. Come on. Read it. Speak it. Speak it. You say, how do I speak it? Well, it says, by his stripes, you're healed. 2 Peter 2:24 says, with his stripes, you were healed. Okay, and you saturate. Mark, I believe the 4th chapter said that what we hear in our ears goes into our heart. And then it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. This is just spiritual chemistry. You fill up the container, and when the container is full, how do I know that I'm full of the Word of God? When I get a bad report, the first thing comes out is the Word. That's how I know. Come on. No matter how bad the report is, first thing comes out of you is the Word of God concerning your need. Here's number two. Once you have saturated in the Word of God, the second thing is to activate. James said, 2 chapter 14 and several other verses, faith without works is dead. I can be so full of the Word of God, I just rejoice over it. I can be happy and clap my hands and speak in tongues and everything over the Word that is in me. But until I activate according to the Word. So if he said that I am healed, what do I do? Do I wait until I feel that I'm healed? No, the Word says, with his stripes you were healed. Were healed. If I were, then I was. And if I was, then I am. And so what do? I rise to my feet. Say, I don't feel good. Well, you got to make a choice. Stand with his Word. Come on. Do you think that that man that was laying at the gate beautiful, don't you think that in the moment that Peter was yanking him up off of his self, that went to his mind, oh my God, I can't walk. Come on. It would have gone through mine. Jesus, I've laid here all my life. And this man is yanking me up on my feet. But in the activation of that, somewhere when his hips left the temple steps and he got somewhere up in midair, boom, the power of God manifested in him. And his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he went running and leaping and praising and worshiping God. Hallelujah. And so if you feel the flu coming on, you say, by his stripes I am healed, and get up and worship God. Get up and worship God. You say, how long is it going to take? I don't know how long it's going to take, but I'm going to stay with God's Word until the manifestation comes through. His Word cannot fail. He does not lie. Every good Word of God is true, solid. It's a foundation. It is life. It is spirit, and it is life. I wonder if anybody could stand with me right now that's going to believe God. How many here tonight have some, I know every hand is going to go up, everybody here that's got some kind of a plaguing need in your life. Would you lift your hand? Something. Yeah. Is it enough that you have heard what I said tonight? And that you will go out of here, because how many of us have several versions of the Bible in our home? We've read it out of duty, and we've read it because we're supposed to. But we have never thought that that Word right there is my answer. It is the key to my manifestation. I'm going to take it. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to receive my miracle. And stay with that Word every day, several times a day. I believe for financial breakthroughs, and I just go walking. I just, every step I took, thank you, Jesus, that I believe I received this. Thank you, Jesus, I believe I received this. Every word out of my mouth, thank you, Jesus, I believe I received this. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, Lord, I have spoken this. You have said it is my grant. It is my grant. I take this grant. It is mine. And I worship you. Glory to God. Glory to God. And you know what? You may not feel a thing, and all of a sudden, here it is. Here it is. Glory to God. You got to shout before you see it. Come on. Because you see it in the word first. Well, you can tell that I can go on way long, but I'm not going to do that tonight anymore. I'd like for everybody that believes with me tonight, you're going to change your life. Your pastor is going to see the effects of this. I'm tired of disharmony in my marriage. Leave no stone unturned. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to do everything he tells me to do. I'm going to saturate in his word. And then I'm going to activate this thing. How do I activate? I act in accordance with it. I'll never let a word that goes against his word come out of my mouth. I'll never let an action be done with my body that denies what his word has said. Glory to God. Glory to God. I believe I'm healed. I believe I have the money. I believe I have peace. Glory to God. And I'm going to worship you. I'm going to praise you until peace is flowing through me like a river. Like a river. Like a river. Like a Niagara. Nothing less. Nothing less. If you believe this, would you put your hands in the air right now and begin to praise the Lord and thank him for the answer that he has given to you. Glory to God. Come on.
Pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.